kids. It's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
I said good day, sir.
My allergies are killing me. Oh my god, I feel horrible.
Sweet. What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Dying next to me, Cole. How are you doing?
My nose is making squeaky noises. Woo! It's okay for a few minutes, and then it just hits me like a ton of bricks. Like, my eyes are starting to water, and I'm like, the fuck did this come from? Naturally, the moment you hit record.
Oh, snap. No Time for Games shows up and just subs with Twitch Prime. 19-month streak. Holy shit.
I feel like I should say we're sorry.
Take your money.
We're not sorry.
We appreciate your support. I also want to give, this is the first time I'm ever doing this, a shout out to our patrons. I guess I could do these at the beginning of every month, huh?
Yeah.
It's so weird.
Yeah.
It's so gross.
We're selling out for pennies, but sure.
Yeah.
Thank you for buying me Sims DLC.
Eventually.
Eventually. In like 6 months, I will be able to afford one on sale.
Yeah, you'll get a Sims stuff pack or something.
Yes.
But shout out to Adam McLaren, some person named Cole Martin.
What a fucker.
Joe Stratman, aka Henry Jones, and Nick Hagman, aka Nario. Thank all of you for believing in this awful, awful podcast.
Thank you for your dollars and mine.
Now we need something else for Norg to record.
Pigeon finds a hot dog.
What?
You don't know the pigeon books.
I have pigeon, no...
Pigeon finds a hot dog is good.
I meant a new voice clip for him to play when we thank
that. No, he needs to record another book for us.
We didn't even release the first one yet.
But we will, and then we'll need another one.
Slow your roll, woman.
My roll cannot be slowed. I am too fat. And I get started going, and then you better hope you got a fucking chalk in the way, or I'm just going to keep rolling.
Awesome Prime says no selling out like Metallica now.
Yeah.
That would require me to cut my hair.
Oh my god. What did Metallica, did they do something different? Because the last thing I remember Metallica doing was suing Napster.
Yeah, this was after that. Was before the Napster thing. Like, Napster came after that. This was when Load came out.
Okay.
The album Load, and they all cut their hair and had like a more mainstream sound than their older stuff.
Oh.
Yeah. So everyone said they sold out. It's like you sell out the moment you sign that contract.
Yeah.
That's the point.
Basically.
That is the goal.
You ever wonder, like, why do we get mad at people for selling out? We should be like, man, you do you. Get that money.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, this is a damn thing. Like, you realize that the whole, I think people romanticize the starving artist thing, even with musicians, maybe even especially with musicians. Like, they have this idea that you should just create for the love of it, and regardless of whether or not you can eat. But trust me, as a starving artist, I can tell you, it's really hard to create when your stomach is gnawing on your backbone.
Yeah.
Let them have that money.
Take your
money.
That's
my rant for today.
Take your money.
Pay artists. Thanks. Bye.
It's a good rant to have.
It is. And it's one you shouldn't have to say, you know? But like, have you ever seen the Four Exposure or Clients from Hell pages? Like, people genuinely, Four Exposure is probably worse than Clients from Hell.
I have an idea of what they are, though.
Four Exposure basically just, like, share screenshots of people saying that you should create shit for them. Like, they have 5 followers and they're like, but I'll get you so many new sales. And it's like, well, bitch, you found me. Clearly, I don't need exposure.
There's a lot of that stuff in choosing beggars on Reddit. You'll see that a lot of the time.
Yeah. It's a lot of the same lines, and it's just like the whole concept that you should just create because it's your passion. It's like, yeah, but passion doesn't keep the lights on. Passion doesn't pay the internet bill, and then I can't share what I create if I'm sitting in the dark.
Yeah, I'm lucky to have a kick-ass wife that, you know, earns enough money to let me do this as a passion project and keep this alive for 6 goddamn years. Wasted life. Where is it gone?
It's only 6. Only 6 years.
Only. It's all my 30s.
You only got like another 35, 40 to go.
Fine. Yeah, right. There's no fucking way I'm hitting that high.
Sure. Shit happens.
Mid-40s tops. That's...
Nah, you got this.
But yeah, thanks to all our patrons. Yeah, we have 2 exclusive clips there so far that you could only check out there, or if you were in the chat room with us on Tuesdays when we recorded. But if you missed it, you could pay a buck and find it.
Yeah.
Good stuff. So yeah, news. You ready?
Yes.
We should probably get to the actual show here.
Does it involve dicks?
I don't know. Probably not.
Balls.
Probably not. Well,
now I'm let down.
Well, this will cheer you up. There's a bunch of games coming to Game Pass.
I don't like to see more games come to Game Pass because I don't have enough time for the ones I've got. I still haven't even played Devil May Cry 5 yet.
Tough shit. There's more games coming.
Balls.
October 3rd, we got Dishonored 2.
Okay. I think I have that. Maybe. I don't know. But okay. Looks like it's solid AAA.
October 10th, Yooka-Laylee and World War Z.
I'm excited for World War Z.
That should bump the player count on that game big time.
Yeah. That's the game needs a bump in the player count, honestly. And I've been begging Studio to play it with me, but he was like, is it worth paying $30 for it? And I thought, well, if he's asking that, I can't guarantee I can convince him yes, because he's a cheapskate like me. And so then I saw it coming to Game Pass, and as soon as I saw the tweet, I sent him the picture, and I was like, you ain't got no excuse now, bitch.
Pretty much.
Yes.
But yeah, those are some good additions. And then October 17th, 3 more games with Panzer Dragoon Orta from the original Xbox. That game is a fantastic game, and it looks gorgeous in 4K as well.
I have heard that.
Fallout New Vegas.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, Vegas is hitting Game Pass October 17th. Oh. And then also on October 17th is Felix the Reaper, which is launching direct to Game Pass.
I'm so excited for Felix the Reaper. And then Aki said something the other day when we were working on a review game that she had requested it from you. And so I just kept my mouth shut because I know it's coming to Game Pass. And I was like, she can do the review. I'm still going to get to play it.
Hey, that works.
Be you, Aki.
That works. Yes. It's not all good, though. A couple of games are leaving Game Pass. So far, 4 games are announced as leaving at the end of October, with Sinner Sacrifice for Redemption, Dead Island Riptide Definitive Edition, Observer, and Resident Evil 5 all departing at the end of the month.
Okay.
It seems like the horror games are leaving right after Halloween.
Yeah. They're going to get a nice bump from, like, people using Game Pass games for spooky streams almost.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, it'll fade off, and that's fine.
And then think how many people are going to say, you know, fuck it, it gets a discount, I'm just going to buy it.
Right. That's a good point, too.
Gotta love that Game Pass discount. I bought a handful of games just because I didn't want to lose them, and they were leaving, like, Next Up Hero, that was one of them. I really enjoyed that game, so I bought it.
If Slay the Spire ever leaves, I'm going to have to buy it.
Drop the cash.
You know what's funny is I didn't expect to like it that well. And so when you offered it to me for review, you asked if I wanted the code or if I was just going to Game Pass it. And I was like, no, it's fine. It's fine. Do a giveaway or something. I'll Game Pass it. Now I'm fucking addicted to it. And if I release, I'm going to have to cough up the money.
Fuck. That'll teach you.
Yeah, I will never make that mistake again. You are giving me them motherfucking codes.
Oh, shit. It has been confirmed that The Last of Us 2 will not feature any kind of multiplayer content.
I didn't ever know that the first Last of Us had multiplayer.
Yeah, it had a pretty healthy multiplayer versus mode.
Are people mad about the absence?
Some are, yeah. A lot of people thought that they would have another multiplayer mode to kind of have a reason to keep the game after you beat it. Otherwise, this is another Sony one and done. I mean, they make amazing first party games, but they're all one and dones.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to figure out like what multiplayer and last. I know very little about Last of Us, to be honest.
Yeah.
So I'm like, beyond the characters and being able to recognize them, excuse me, and knowing that it's an apocalyptic game, I'm assuming there's zombies. Although I've never seen a zombie in any of it. Oh
my god, the clickers in The Last of Us are scary as fuck.
Are they?
Oh, you would love The Last of Us. If you had a PS4, you would fucking love The Last of Us.
How does that translate to a multiplayer, though?
It's like, just
is
have,
there anything to compare it to? Like, is it World
remember
War
how Z-ish? Tomb Raider had a multiplayer mode?
Tomb Raider had multiplayer?
Yeah.
I didn't ever touch
that shit. The first one, the reboot.
Really?
It's just a versus kill the opponents and stay alive kind of deathmatch thing.
Huh.
Yeah, I didn't play it much because I didn't care about it. I bought The Last of Us for the story.
Because one and done.
Yeah.
Basically.
Pretty much. Cuphead has sold 5 million copies.
How many are on Tesla, though? That's the Xbox killer right there.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Twitter told me so.
Son of a bitch. That's impressive, though. 5 million copies of Cuphead.
It really is. That game was worth the wait. It was hard as fuck, though. Yeah. If anything ever needed an accessibility mode, Jesus fucking Christ. Like, I would play 2 bosses and be like, my hands are killing me, I'll see you in a month.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't do it. I didn't ever fully beat it, but I did get to the end. I just didn't beat it.
I didn't get that far in the game. I suck at the game. I die way too easily. I need, hyper pussy crybaby mode for this one.
I powered through. I was really proud of myself. I think that's one of the things, like, I know how hard it is, you know? And I saw Shiz struggle with it and literally every fucking buddy else struggle with it. And so, like, knowing my limits and how I struggle with most games anyway, because, you know, and I didn't have an Elite controller. I didn't have my settings like I do now that make it easier for me to play.
No.
So I was really proud of myself. Like, I never expected to even get to the end of normal mode, and I did. So I was like, fuck yeah, I'm good with this. I don't need to beat it, you know?
Nice.
But, yeah, I should go. I don't have time. I should go back and try it, like with my controller, though, and see if it makes a difference where I've got an Elite controller. I wonder if it would make a difference.
I'd say that's your homework for next week, but we're still waiting on a Sims mouse and keyboard report.
I did get me a mouse and keyboard this week, though. D got me. He come home with it, and I was like, I want to kill you for spending money I didn't tell you to spend, but thank you. So, I have it set up, but I just haven't had time yet. Inktober is killing me. This is my life. And I didn't even get the days done. It's only day 3, and I'm already an Inktober failure.
Quitter.
Fuck. I'm not quitting. I'll just have to play catch up, and then probably tomorrow I'll do 2. Just
switch over full-time to Cocktober.
Yeah. I have some good cocks drawn. I can't wait for people to see.
Every day on Twitter, just a new one.
Ooh, that would... You know, my kid's special education teacher follows me on Twitter.
Well, she won't for much longer.
I should maybe not.
You need Eternal Rage After Dark. A second Twitter account.
Just for weenies. You know, that would be the one that would finally get over 750 followers. Have I ever told the story about my fucking Twitter follower conundrum?
No.
Like, every time I get to 747, I just hemorrhage. I've never been able to stay over 750. Anytime I notice that I'm at it, like, it just magically starts hemorrhaging, and I'll look, and I'll be back at, like, 710. Like, I can't do it. At one point, I had more followers than Shiz.
Wow.
And now I don't.
Well, Shiz kind of blew up.
Yeah, to be fair. But at one point, he was at, like, 720, and again, I was around 740-ish, and then everybody just... Don't follow Cole. There we have it.
I have no clue what we're at.
I don't know.
1862.
Look at you.
Yeah, and all of those are from contests.
I'm not mad about it.
Me neither.
See, I need to do like an art giveaway. That's what I should do.
Giveaway dicks. Framed dicks.
Yeah. On my other Twitter that I don't have.
Eternal Rage After Dark. Let's see what other news. Tencent has become the largest shareholder for developer and publisher Funcom, known for Conan Exiles, owning 29% of shares in the company.
Don't they own a large chunk of PUBG, too?
Yeah.
And like I think Epic as well. Chunk. Tencent. They rolling in it.
Yeah.
They ain't worth 10 cents no more.
They should be called 12 cent now or something.
$1.50.
$1.50. But yeah, it looks like Tencent is dipping their toes into even more developers.
Nice. I don't know. I don't know if I really want to say nice to that. I mean, like, kudos to them for expanding and everything, but they got their hands in so much that it's kind of monopoly-like.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, well.
After thinking about it, I'm a little more reserved. Like, maybe I shouldn't be all in for that. Next. I don't want to dwell on that too much. I start getting all, like, I don't know, turning into a communist or something.
You are a commie.
I mean, you're not supposed to tell.
I don't usually report on these, but the Twitch Prime free games for October were pretty good this month. Did you see them?
No.
There was one repeat with Serial Cleaner. I already had that one. There was a game I hadn't heard of called Adam Wolf, which looks pretty interesting. And then Deadlight Director's Cut, which is good.
Oh, I like Deadlight.
The Walking Dead Michonne.
Oh.
And Stranger Things 3.
Whoa.
That's a hell of a lineup for Twitch Prime.
I really need to install. I always get my free Twitch games, and then I don't ever install the installer to play them. There's quite a few of them that would actually run on my...
I claim them every month. I don't think I've installed a single game.
I don't want. Epic gives out freebies, too, and sometimes I remember to go get my free Epic game, and then I've never installed any of them.
Yeah, the only Epic game I have installed is Shakedown Hawaii, and that was from reviewing it. That's the only one installed. Everything else, I just have this giant library of free games.
Oh, Ruby is my jam says the Michonne code is on Epic. Interesting.
Hmm.
I need to go check it out. I'll probably forget, but I do need to go check it out.
I don't pay attention. I just click redeem. a new Super Mario Maker 2 update finally added the ability to play directly with your friends in online multiplayer modes.
Oh, I seem to remember hearing people bitch about that.
Yeah, well, now they can play with friends.
That's such an unusual thing to leave out initially. Like, come on, guys. 2019. We realize you're Nintendo, and you might not have online quite on lock, but... feel like you should at least be able to handle inviting your friends.
Yeah, you would hope so.
Random strangers? Okay, fine. Look, we've seen indie games developed by three-man teams that can handle that. So you know Nintendo can.
Yeah. I mean, it had online play. It was just you couldn't play invite with your friends. It was ass backwards because it's Nintendo.
Yeah. So. And you would have to eat.
Kitty? Hi.
Hello, Rafe.
Kitty.
Chair kitty.
Well, this show's over.
What's the matter? He's sitting on my heating pad.
Oh, geez.
Got as warm as non-existent balls.
Speaking of non-existent, Mario and Luigi series developer Alpha Dream has gone bankrupt. So that is a bummer to hear.
How do you develop Mario games and go bankrupt?
Because they were, like, they weren't a first-party developer. It was, like, Nintendo working with an outside team to develop these games. But Nintendo themselves wasn't first-party.
I guess I didn't realize that Nintendo did that. Yep. I was under the impression that everything Mario related was in-house.
No. So yeah, it looks like the Mario and Luigi series is possibly going away. And it looks like those re-releases that they put out on the 3DS just didn't do too well.
Were there hopes for future Mario and Luigi games? Or were the re-releases all people were looking forward to?
I would assume there were hopes for a new one. I don't know if they were testing the waters to see if there was demand for a new one, but you'd figure if you're hardcore fans, they already own the two that you put out. Why re-release them
with
just minor additions one generation later on a console that can already play the games that are already available? Because they were originally DS games and then they were 3DS games. Then again, we could say this about a lot of games that were on the 360.
I'm pretty sure I have said this exact thing before.
Yeah.
So like, sometimes there are just remasters where you're like, is it really necessary?
And I guess the Mario and Luigi ones were handled that way, and no one cared. Oh, well. Untitled Goose Game will apparently be coming to Xbox One and PlayStation in the future.
Really?
Yep. I didn't know if I was allowed to say anything when I asked about it in an email. They told me, quote, in the next few months, but I'm afraid we don't have a specific date for that. I didn't know if that was like breaking news or something, so I didn't want to say anything and piss anyone off.
Yeah. But
now that like IGN and shit is reporting on it, I could say what they told me in an email.
Good.
So, hopefully soon. Fingers crossed.
I want Untitled Goose Game. Apparently, Aki will fight me for it, but bitch, I got canes.
It's going to be a bloodbath. Some sad news. Sean Layden has left PlayStation, seemingly out of nowhere.
I don't know who this is.
He was the face who would, like, chat at
E3. Okay.
And then when the video game awards happened the one year... Or last year when they brought out Reggie, Phil Spencer, and Sean Layden from PlayStation. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird how Phil Spencer's the only one still around from that.
Right.
Because Reggie retired and now Sean Layden's has left PlayStation.
Somebody put Phil Spencer in a bubble. We must protect him at all costs.
Let's see here. This is interesting news. Have you heard about PlayStation Now?
Yes.
The news this week that they dropped their price to $9.99 a month.
I don't think I heard that.
Yes, just this week, PlayStation Now dropped its price to $29.99 a month, $24.99 a month for 3 months, or $24.99 for 3 months, or $60 for a full year. So the same price as PlayStation Plus.
I wonder if that's because of the competitiveness of Game Pass Ultimate.
I think so. The only big difference is that PlayStation Now doesn't include Plus, whereas Game Pass does include Gold.
Yeah.
Or Game Pass Ultimate includes Gold.
That's going to be like, they're going to milk it as long as they can, but at E3 next year, when they do their own thing because they don't go to E3, they're going to be like, surprise!
Now, it was a combo service. It's so innovative.
PlayStation and so Ultimate! It's new and you've never heard of it before! And then on the PlayStation Echo Chamber on Twitter is going to be like, fuck you, this is the best thing ever! While right now that they're actually calling Xbox EBT Pass because they're fuckheads, I have opinions.
Oh, Jesus.
Did you not see that one?
No, I didn't.
Yeah. Yeah, they were calling it Xbox EBT Pass.
Why?
Because it's so cheap and useless, it's for poor people. Yeah, that's their argument, because they're dumb. That's the way the Twitter trolls work.
There's stupid people out there.
You know, the funny thing about it is that, like, I actually go out of my way to try to avoid that shit, and it still winds up on my feed. I'm like, make it go the fuck away. Because then I know that I'm going to talk about it because it sticks with me, and I'm just like, doesn't deserve the breath that it takes to repeat that shit.
No. But I will say, this does make PlayStation Now a lot more appealing.
Yeah. I saw that you can play God of War on PC now.
Well, they added 4 games to PlayStation Now. They're going to start offering rotating titles that are high profile, that are going to come in and out, like on Game Pass. And there's 4 titles that they added there that are going to be available only until January 2nd. And that includes God of War, Grand Theft Auto 5, Uncharted 4, and Infamous Second Son. And yes, through streaming, you'll be able to play God of War on PC.
But doesn't PS Now streaming have, like, some issues? Like, you have a queue and it's a little laggy and...
I mean, you're streaming a game, so you're going to run into lag and issues. It's not going to be perfect.
Yeah.
In a game like God of War, I don't think that would be a problem.
Yeah, because it's not online.
Yeah.
One and done.
Another Sony one and done. That is correct.
God of War is not on my I would break my neck to play it list. Like, if my computer could run it, fine. If it couldn't, oh well. I'm about 927% sure in its current state it couldn't run it.
Well, you should sign up to a trial of PlayStation Now, and, you know, they obviously have free trials. You could sign up, try the streaming, see if it works well, and maybe you could play a couple of PlayStation games you haven't had the chance to try.
I would be more inclined to wait. Horizon Zero Dawn is the one PlayStation game that I'm sad I have never played. The only one. Like, yeah, God of War sounds interesting, and yeah, The Last of Us probably would be up my alley because I like too spooky shit, but Horizon Zero Dawn is the one that sticks as like, ah, you fuckers. And you know, I think a big aspect of that is like, I've seen people stream God of War, so I know the story, and I don't care that I haven't played it. And I've seen people stream The Last of Us and Until Dawn and Detroit Being Human. No, wait, I haven't seen The Last of Us. But Until Dawn and Detroit Being Human. And I'm like, okay, so I've seen them. I know the stories. And I'm fine. But I've literally never seen anybody stream Horizon Zero Dawn. Like, none of the normal people I follow, even the ones that play PlayStation every now and then, none of them have ever streamed Horizon Zero Dawn. I don't know jack shit about this game.
Yeah, I wish I knew. During our party over the summer, my buddy Jeremy just sat down and played Horizon for like 6 hours straight. I would have had him stream it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the only one I haven't seen, so it's the only one that, like, I have any kind of attachment to wanting to see.
Yeah.
So, like, if you were like, oh, yeah, Horizon Zero Dawn is now on PlayStation Now, and you can play it on PC, I'd be like, yeah, it's on up for a trial.
I don't know if it's in PlayStation Now or not. There's a ridiculous PlayStation Now is no joke with its library. There are over 800 games in the library for PlayStation Now.
Let me see something.
I think more than half of them are like PS3 games that you can't replay, but or that you can't download. I want to say there's somewhere around maybe 300 or 400 of the games are PS4 that you could download. So that's why I'm saying PS Now is looking a lot more tempting at this new price.
Hmm. It does not look like Horizon Zero Dawn is included.
Ah, well.
Yeah.
That's the one thing Game Pass definitely has over PlayStation Now is that Game Pass gets new releases day one.
Yeah. And in some cases, like the Ultimate Edition of Gears, you get them early.
Yeah.
I think that is something that we'll see continue going forward, too. That Ultimate Editions will be available in Game Pass Ultimate.
Probably.
Only with Ultimate, but in Ultimate.
Yeah. Like, look at the end of this month, Outer Worlds.
Yeah.
Gonna be Game Pass day one.
Yeah.
Thank you, Microsoft. But there is a thank you to Sony as well, because it has come out and they have said that their cross-trial beta is now officially over, and any game that can support cross-play is fair game.
I want to be impressed, but god damn it, what took you so long? Like, thanks, but fucking could have got with the program when everybody else did it.
Hey, it's better late than never. It's
better late than never, sure.
PlayStation made some smart moves this week. You got to give them credit.
I'm trying.
I mean, Awesome Prime said it in chat. Fingers crossed this leads to Rock Band 4 crossplay. I would love that to happen because I have some friends on PS4 that I can't play with.
Yeah.
But if we had crossplay, hey,
then you could.
I could finally team up and band up with them and play.
Honestly, crossplay should have just been the standard anyway, but
yeah.
At least, you know, here it is.
Yeah, so that is the news I have for the week. Anything you want to talk about?
No. I don't think I saw anything beyond what we already covered.
No, you just want to dive into the reviews, get this shit over with?
Let's do it. I might actually get my Inktober piece done before midnight.
Maybe.
We finish this shit.
First game to talk about tonight is called Tropico 6, developed by Limbic Entertainment, published by Calypso Media, released to version 1.0 and on the PS4 October 8th for $59.99. In times of political turmoil and social unrest, the people are calling for visionary leaders who will steer the fate of their country with foresight and ingenuity. Prove yourself once again as the feared dictator or peace-loving statesman on the island of Tropico and shape the fate of your very own Banana Republic through four distinctive eras. Cole, tell us about Tropico 6.
So, when I played this in-game preview for my first review, after I finished the preview, I had to delete it from my hard drive because I played it so goddamn much. that I wasn't getting other shit done. So now...
That's amazing.
Now it has come out of game preview, and it is full release. And so, of course, you're like, well, let's do a full release review. And I've had to reinstall it. And I just want to point out that I was up till 4 a.m. last night. Because at one point I looked at the clock and it was 10:30 and I said, hey, I could play a little Tropico before I go to bed.
Oh, no.
And then it was 4 a.m. and I could not keep playing more Tropico before I went to bed. I don't know how it happened.
Wow.
I have no justification for what I did. I do know that I had been setting alarms for the rest of the week, and I would literally set myself on a timer when I was going to play, but last night I was like, that's fine, just a little bit of time.
Oh, geez. So for the people who don't know what this addictive game is, what is Tropico 6?
Tropico is literally one of the best city building simulators with a little bit of dictator simulator thrown in. I don't know if anybody's ever figured this out about me, but I've got a little tiny bit of a megalomaniac complex. I can, I like to be in control. And Tropico gives you the option to be in control of your own island. You literally micromanage everything in this game. How much people are paid, where they work, how much they pay for rent, what you're exporting from your islands, how much of it, who you're exporting to. You can get pirates and send them on raids and they bring back Stonehenge for you. It's absolutely incredible just how much you can do. If that's not enough to just be like, throw your ass in a sandbox and build these islands the way you want to, the game has campaigns. There are several different, I can't remember the actual number. There's a ton of them though, but there are straight up several different scenarios, all varied difficulties, all types of different circumstances that you can play through. Your islands can be different shaped. You have access to different types of resources on certain islands that you don't have on others. There's so much potential for how you play the game. You'll start off oftentimes, in like a colonial type of era where you literally have dirt roads and your little citizens are riding, you know, carts and buggies and horses through the town or walking to work. Or once it gets to progress to different eras, so like you can go through the war and then you're a little more advanced, you have more industrialized options, you're not just flat out mining, you can have big giant operations and skyscrapers, and just you can customize literally everything to a nauseating degree. I think that's one of the ways that you can lose yourself in the game. And like, you think, oh, I'm only going to spend 5 or 10 minutes building up my city and then I'll go do something else. And then you're like, no, never mind. I spent 27 hours deciding how much money my coal miners were going to make.
No, jeez.
It's so in-depth. One thing that I love about Tropico is that...
I'm sure you love more than one thing based on what you're saying.
Well, yes. But one thing that I love about it in comparison to other city building sims like this, like I love micromanagement sims anyway. You've already got me on board the minute you hand me a micromanagement sim. But they are notoriously plagued with controller binding issues. And 9 times out of 10, making it work with the controller decides whether or not that game is good. Like, I loved Surviving Mars. Surviving Mars was very good, but it was bound to the controller so poorly that 9 times out of 10, my people died of oxygen deprivation.
Oh, Jesus.
Just because I couldn't figure out which button it was I needed to fix a pipe to get oxygen to them again. Tropico doesn't suffer from that. The binding is very intuitive, and even when I loaded it up earlier this week, even though I hadn't played it since it initially came out on preview and I forced myself to delete it, I immediately went back into it and remembered how to play it. There was no fumbling around with, oh, fuck, I don't remember which button actually sets the wages or which button do I need to build a road. Like, I knew what to do because it was intuitive and it was laid out in such a way that it was easy to just pick up and go at again. I was going to see if the cat was going to meow again. I'm like, do I have to get up and let him out, or is he going to chill out? He's not sure either.
So what was different in between game preview and full release?
You know what? I have tried my ass off to find a full patch note list, and I can't find one. And if anything, I think it was more like smoothing out the actual game itself. I had some less micro freezing kind of issues that I had with it initially. Just when a whole lot of shit would be going off on screen, as it's going to do when you're building on three different islands at once. It would kind of stutter around, and that had definitely been smoothed out. But I think a big part of what was adjusted was the multiplayer stuff. And I play it crazy ass hours. So yeah. I didn't just try the multiplayer stuff. That's part of the course with me. I also don't know anybody else with Tropico, and that didn't help either.
Me. You could.
Did you have it?
Yes.
Why did I think you didn't have it?
I don't know.
I was convinced that you had only had one copy and that it was mine. Huh.
So proud of you.
Well, shit. I want to try out the multiplayer. Because I think the multiplayer was the big... It was only in-game preview for a month. There wasn't a whole lot left to, like...
Yeah, it seemed like it was a pretty complete game.
So, and I mean, there's not anything, like, standing out going, we were fixed this. And I'm like, no, I don't know what's fixed, but thanks. But it does run at least a little more smoothly than it did when it first started. But yeah, I can't believe that I didn't know you didn't have it. I'm sorry.
Oh, well, $60 on it. What do you think of it?
If you are into any kind of management sim, or if you just want to go send pirates to steal Stonehenge for you, or if you just want to know what it's like to be a dictator, I recommend that you buy it. It is absolutely incredible.
Awesome.
Yeah. Have you ever heard the phrase?
I thought you had more to say there. Like, you left it kind of on a cliffhanger. I was waiting to see if there was anything else.
No, I needed to breathe. But have you ever heard the phrase, a delayed game is eventually good, but a rushed game is permanently bad?
Yeah.
Yeah. To tell you a little bit about Tropico and why it only needed a month in game preview, they had initially delayed the game because, quote, it was good, but it wasn't outstanding yet. That was their reasoning for delaying it initially. Because I think we were supposed to originally get it back in January. And then it got delayed until they put it in game preview, and then it was only there for a month.
Well, was it worth the wait?
Absolutely.
Awesome. Sounds good. And you know what else sounds good? 100 biddies from No Time for Games.
Dropping bits!
Dropping bits indeed. Thank you, George. And thank you, No Time. You are awesome. We always appreciate the biddy showers here on SML.
Wet pancakes. Get your wet pancakes here.
Oh, yeah. Wet pancakes. George.
Wet pancakes.
Yes. One day we're going to get to that 15 subscriber goal, and we're going to have a wet pancake emote officially on Twitch.
One of us just needs to break down and, like, gift a community sub.
Yeah.
Like a bunch of them. I think you can gift up to 100 at a time.
There we go.
I'll just
gift 100 of them, and I'll unlock all of the emotes, and then we'll be good.
Nice.
It'll only cost me $500.
That's, you know what? It's a small price to pay for wet pancakes.
And on the plus side, I'll get $250 of that back.
Yeah. What else are you going to buy on Amazon for $250? Nothing. That's what.
I know what you could buy for $14.99, though, and that is our next game.
Good segue.
Next game to talk about is called As Divine Kimura, developed by XCreate, published by Kemco, released October 2nd on Xbox One and Windows 10 for $14.99. After everything is upended when a transcendent being named Zadis appears and begins altering the world, the spirit city Shiki sets out to gather the mystic orbs scattered throughout the various regions and restores world. Teaming up with an unlikely band of both quiet and freewheeling female companions, what conclusion will they arrive at? Only deity knows the answer to that. Cole, tell us about As Divine Kimura.
I don't know what I'm supposed to tell you. You just laid the whole thing out there.
Well, then $15, what do you
think? That's like literally the first half of my notes here, and I'm like, well, thanks. I don't know what you needed me to play this for. So yeah, Zaddy's is an asshole. He takes over your realm. He kicks your ass. I don't know why it even bothers having you fight him, because you attack him and he knocks you flat on your ass like immediately and nothing else matters. And then you get up and you hit him and he knocks you on your ass immediately. And I think it just does it to put you in your place and show you that the game can dick you over if it wants to, unapologetically. Once you've gotten your ass kicked, you find yourself cast off to the realm that you're going to have to go and collect your mystic orbs and get your power back up so that you can eventually kick Sadie's ass. From that point, this is basically your run-of-the-mill standard issue as Divine game.
I mean, it's a Chemco RPG. We know what we're getting into when we pick up a Chemco RPG.
You should not be surprised.
Yeah, if you're looking for classic, old-school, 16-bit era RPG goodness, that is what Chemco does.
Mm-hmm. And they do it well, to be fair. Yeah, at this point, it's a little bit like they flooded the market. There's so many of these games.
Well, it's like Artifacts and point-and-click games.
Yeah, but, you know, they've to an extent, they've kind of flooded the market. But if you're into these games, then you probably look forward to every one. Because shout out to them for this, but every one of them has a different story. They don't recycle the story. Only two, I think, I played were even connected story-wise. All of the others, they're set in the same kind of universe, but you can pick up any one of them, draw it out of a hat, and be like, I'm going to play this as Divine game. And you do not need to have played any of the others. You do not need to have played them in order. It doesn't even matter if you've even heard of the one that you pull out of the hat. You're still going to be able to play it fine.
Yeah.
It will lay it all out for you. It'll even flat out ask you, hey, do you need us to teach you the controls, or have you played 94 of these games? I wish it put it like that. That would be hilarious. But it does ask you, you know, are you a noob or do you know how to move? And then you're basically just going to go on an adventure. You'll have your villages that you'll explore. You'll talk to villagers. You'll have your overworld where you get into fights with, you know, random monsters that you can't see until they pop up and you hack and slash your way through them. Now, as Divine Chimera does change the combat system a little, and that it has like this grid system that pops up. All of the others for combat have been like old school Pokemon, where like you pick the one you're gonna attack and hit the button and go. This one, there's like a 3x3 grid that comes up, and you choose which monster you're gonna attack on the grid. I would like to give you a more detailed rundown of how that grid system works, but I couldn't figure it out for the life of me beyond just hitting one and hoping I killed it. Thankfully, Azdivine is all of these games are incredibly accessible, and you can set them on pussy mode and just roll through and one hit 90% of what you come in contact with. And that's what I did. Because as soon as I saw, I started off on normal and I was like, I've played plenty of these, I'm fine. And then it come up with that grid system and I was like, nope. And I set that bitch back down to easy.
Back to auto battle. Like,
yeah, I just want to one hit them and go.
That's what I love about the Chemco games. If you want that experience and you want to focus on the story, you can. Yeah. And if you want a tougher RPG experience, you can make it harder and have more traditional turn-based battles with more strategic movements and, you know, shit like that.
I did miss the ability to fast forward through the long-ass dialogue-heavy cutscenes. We did see that in a previous game, and you could just hit RB and like it would fly through all the dialogue. And if you couldn't keep up with it, then you could just like, I think it's start or select, one or the other. I can do it by muscle memory in the game. I don't know which button it actually is anymore. But it just brings up like a dialogue transcript that you can scroll through. And that's how I prefer to read all the dialogue, because it just lets me speed read it rather than sitting there waiting to go through, you know, page by page. But So I do kind of miss it that this one does not have the ability to skip through, because you are there for a while. Once they start talking, these are some blabbermouths. They have to give you the total rundown of literally everything that has ever happened in this universe since the beginning of its time, and I hope you're there for it.
So they're like you doing reviews.
Ha. Yes, because you know what they... There was one moment where I was really happy that there wasn't a skip button. You want to know what it said?
What?
One of the monsters' dialogue boxes said, and I quote, "Jiggles increasingly violently."
Tell me you took a screenshot of that.
I didn't, because I wasn't sure if I had an embargo. So I wrote it down in my book so I wouldn't forget to include it.
Damn it.
It was literally the best thing about the game, and I just giggled about it. Like, it does it 3 or 4 times, and I just giggled so fucking hard.
Well, go back, restart the fight, take a screenshot, and get it sent to me, because I'll use that as the picture for the show.
It's so good.
But $15 on As Divine Kimura, what do you think?
I give it a solid try. It does have your microtransactions and stuff that these games typically have. And I will say, at least this time, they didn't have a microtransaction to let you skip or like to control the enemies and like turn the enemies off. Like, you can do that just as is. It's part of when you go into a dungeon, there's an actual little switch and you choose what, if you want normal combat, double the combat, or no combat.
Oh, that's interesting.
And so I was relieved that they didn't pay for it, you know, make you pay for that this time. Thank you. Because if you want no combat, you can go into a dungeon, turn that shit off, and just go through and get your story.
Nice.
Which is very good. But I do think that, given that there is some microtransactions and stuff for like higher, there's one for like the 3x XP and stuff, it does get a little frustrating that it exists. Like, just the game's already $15, let it be.
No.
That's one of my biggest gripes about all of these, and it will always be. But at least they didn't charge you to make it accessible this time. So I do give them a try it.
All right. Well, next game to talk about is called Nordlicht, developed by Ilias, published by Sadok LLC, released September 27th on Steam for $4.99. Nordlicht is an adventure game where you accompany an unusual family on its fascinating journey to the cold north. During the journey, they encounter mysterious star signs of the polar night and have to overcome nature's dangers to confront their fears. Cole, you previewed this one as well. How did the final game turn out?
I cried. I'm a big whiny baby, but this is also an incredibly emotional game. And I knew basically, like, going into it, it's pretty obvious how it's going to end. You play as a young girl named Aurora and her father, Rupert, and they are going on a journey to see Aurora's mother. It is winter. The northern lights are out, hence Nordlicht being the name. You have to help Aurora and Rupert get together. This is part of the point and click where you start off at their home and you've got to help them like collect food. But Rupert's scatterbrained, as any, you know, dad left alone with a young girl often is. So like he forgets to go to the grocery store. So of course there you have to find alternative ways to get food to take on your trip. So you gotta get an apple, but it's winter and there's only one left and it's at the top of the tree and Aurora's only 7. She's not strong enough to shake an apple tree. How are you gonna get the apple? You need a fishing pole to take with you, but the pole is broken, so you only have the rod and the reel. What are you gonna do? You need fishing line, and you need, a new rod, and you need bait. How are you gonna come up with bait? So it's your quintessential point and click adventure as far as the puzzle solving goes. It's all stuff that seems a little absurd, but also falls into a logical enough realm that you can often put two and two together. Yeah. Aurora does have the help of her little guinea pig. His name is Peter. Funny enough, when I was doing research for the game, I think I mentioned this in the preview too, Peter's name was originally Peanut. And it's if on the Nordlicks website, that's what it still referred to him as.
Hmm.
And so I was very confused. I was like, I don't know if that was just a translation thing. And then I was like, no, that's originally what he was meant to be, was Peanut. But then for some reason, they named him Peter instead. But it works. Whatever. Peter does shit that you can't always do because he's a little small dude. And he'll go like, if you're afraid of something breaking, if you walk on it, you can send Peter instead. He's a handy little guy to have around. But he also poses his own problems. Like, you can't take Peter out in the snow without a coat. He'll catch a cold. So if you got to go outside, you got to find Peter a coat. Obviously.
Yeah.
So sometimes it requires just a little bit of childlike imagination to solve some of the puzzles. But it's never anything that's so over the top that you're just sitting there staring at it like, I don't know what to do here. You know?
Yeah.
If you either can figure it out logically, or you're like, yeah, that's what a kid would do. I need some oil in my lantern. Look at, see, I stretched that out. in my lantern. And so the obvious solution is to take my bath sponge and pick up oil from the kitchen floor and squeeze it into the lantern, right? And that's how it works. One thing about the game is, though, is that even though it is a point and click puzzle adventure, there is a sequence where a couple of times you are on the boat with Rupert and Aurora and you have to help them cross the sea to get to the next spot of their journey. When you are on the boat, you have to do a couple of different things in order to get through the sequence. And the sequence is nice for like breaking up the monotony, but it gets incredibly overwhelming at times. Like, you'll have to click on clouds to get wind for your sails. And you have to click on the thunder clouds so that the lightning doesn't strike your boat. And you have to click on the waves at just the right time so they don't hit your boat. And then you've got to click on the icebergs multiple times to break those up so that they don't wreck your boat like the Titanic. It becomes a lot. And it actually took me multiple tries to get through one of the later action sequences. For a game that is relatively quick and meant to just be an experience that you go through with a focus on the narrative and the puzzles, the point and click action sequence can be a little overwhelming and kind of pull you out of it if you're struggling with it.
Yeah.
Beyond that, I absolutely love the game. Like, it's hand illustrated. It has this adorable painterly look, even though it's all done digitally. It has this painterly look to it. It's just so charming and quirky. Rupert and Aurora almost look like paper dolls being moved around in the world, and I love them for it. It's just so well done, so well put together. It plays flawlessly. There is only one song on the soundtrack, and it plays on loop, but it's not overbearing or anything in any kind of way to where, like, you don't particularly get tired of it. It's just kind of drowns out and becomes a thing that's there.
Yeah.
I think you'd miss it if it were gone. But otherwise, it's just like, yeah, that's a sound that's there.
Well, $5 on Nordlicht, what do you say?
It's absolutely worth it. It'll take you about an hour and a half, 2 hours to play through it. So I think that's pretty good return on your investment there for $5, especially given that it's such a good story and it's so well illustrated and it plays so well.
Awesome. Sounds good.
Yeah.
All right, next game to talk about is Petoon's Party, developed and published by Petoon Studio, released September 20th on Switch, 27th on Xbox One for $19.99. Ready for a great adventure? The Petoons need your help to face the evil Kitra. Kitra wants to conquer the island of Chimera and steal the Petoons' magic to control the world. These words are so weird. Join the Petoons and save their world of magical islands. Cole, tell us about Petoon's Party.
So, this game does have a story to it. You mentioned some of it. You know, they're trying to save Chimera Island from Kitra, who wants to take over it and rule it with her followers, who are called the Mules. That's all well and good. It has literally nothing to do with the actual gameplay. It's basically just serves as like a prop for the existence of the game. Like, yeah, listen to the story. This is why you're trying to do all this stuff. And it's just basically a multiplayer party game. And that's fine. Like, I don't think I've ever seen any of the other local multiplayer party games that I've reviewed. And I get stuck with a lot of them because I have a built-in multiplayer system in my house.
Goddamn right.
I don't think I've ever seen another one put any kind of effort into a story like that. So I kind of want to give them props for at least trying. It's like, you know, you didn't need it, but you put it there and kudos.
Thank you. Thanks for caring.
Other than the actual story that is just a thing. You play the game local multiplayer. If you don't have enough people to fill out all four slots, you don't have enough controllers or whatever, you can play against CPU. It'll just fill in the extra spots with computers. I think at one point my kids one and three were playing, but two didn't want to play. So they just played against two bots.
2v2 scrubs.
Yeah. Well, that's the interesting thing is that the majority of the game is like free for all, every man for himself. There's no team based objectives until you get to the end. So there's three modes to choose from, which is the board game mode, the cup mode, and then just mini games. If you're playing as on the board game mode or in cups, you will basically have a series of things that you have to do before you get to the end, and then you actually take on the boss. Where I was saying that most of the game is free-for-all until you get to that boss. Then when you get to that boss, everybody has to band together to actually beat the boss, which is kind of an odd twist. It's like, I just spent the whole time playing, trying to collect more coins than my kids, trying to push my kids off of platforms, trying to make sure my kids weren't standing on the proper fruit so they would fall off the platform. And now all of a sudden you're going to tell me I have to get along with my kids to beat the boss? Why? I don't want to get along with my kids. That's why I'm playing a local multiplayer game. Whoever loses this shit has to do the laundry. Because Purnell ain't fucking done it yet. Come on.
No one else is going to get that joke.
but it's funny, huh?
Yeah, it is. If you want to hear the meaning to that, go check our Patreon page. Oh, so what else is there to Petoon's Party?
So, like I said, there are the three different modes. I'll go into those a little more. The board game mode, basically like playing a digital board game. It's kind of adorable. There are different paths laid out with little circles, and you roll the dice, you move your dice. Well, it all moves for you. Like, you press A, roll the dice, and everything else happens to you. But your goal is to get to the end. You will either gain points, lose points, depending on where you land, which circle you land on. Some of them will send you down different paths. Some of them will send you to a mini game where everybody plays together. And then eventually you get to the end and you take on the boss as a group. The mini games, there's three different islands that you can play on. And then there are, I want to say it was either 7 or 10 mini games per island. I think it might have been, I think it was 7. Yeah, I'm going to roll with 7. Somebody can tell me if I'm wrong. The devs can message us and tell me I'm wrong. Wouldn't be the first time. I should have wrote it down, but I did not. But there are different minigames for each island. And, you know, you unlock them as you go. Again, some of the minigames are better than others. There's one that has you running around a circle that is split into 4 different fruits. And then after a certain amount of time, a fruit will pop up through the middle and you have to be standing on the corresponding fruit slice while the other ones fall away. So, of course, everybody has 4 lives. And if you fall through and aren't standing on the proper slice, it's kind of like musical chairs almost. Mm-hmm. Then you lose one of your hearts. You can also push people off.
But which I'm sure you did constantly.
I would never push my children off. And I will tell you why I would never push my children off. And that is what leads me to my major complaint about this game. If anything, it is my only complaint about the game. Well, that and happen to actually play cooperatively in a competitive game. But my one gripe is that for some of these mini games, and by some of them, I mean almost all of them, you really need to be able to move, and you need to be able to move kind of quickly. For some reason, though, the movement is super stiff. Even I tried to like forgive it initially and thought maybe it's just because, you know, my hands are broken. But even number one was like, no, they move so slow. And it's like moving them through molasses, you know? Yeah. But they just kind of sludge along. But the game needs you to go fast. Like there's one instance where you're darting back and forth across rafts that are coming down from a waterfall to deliver bunnies from one side of the screen to the other. I call them bunnies. They're called okies or akies in the game. They may be akies. But you have to deliver them from one side to the other and put them in the proper corresponding color pin. And when you're trying to like beat a timer and just not fall in the water, that stiffness really shines as being horrible. If they would just bump up the movement speed like a lot, I'd be a million times happier with the game. That said, it's bright, it's colorful, the characters are creative, it's just really charming. The mini games are a lot of fun. There was a surprising amount of variety set to them. It's far more enjoyable to play it as a group. I'm pretty sure the AI cheat.
Always.
Because even on set to easy, like, they weren't easy. But it was still a lot of fun and enjoyable.
Well, then overall, $20 on it, what do you say?
Overall, man, I didn't know it was $20. I give it a try it, but $20 is kind of a high price given that it's local multiplayer only. If it had online, I'd be a little more inclined to be like, yeah, $20 is fine. $20 is a little on the high side for a local multiplayer, game, though, in my opinion. But the gameplay is solid enough that with a few tweaks, it would be okay. So I'd give it a try. It.
Cool. I'm freaking. I'm sure people on stream are wondering why the hell I'm staring off to my side so much. Pickle, wonderful Pickle, has decided to crawl behind our TV.
Uh-oh. Pickle, no.
Yeah, Pickle, you little son of a bitch. Come here, you. Oh, God. Anyway, next game to talk about is called One Night Stand, developed by Kinmoku, published by Rattle Lake Games, released October 1st on PS4, 2nd on Xbox, 4th on the Switch for $4.99. After a night of fun, passion, and one too many drinks, you wake up the next morning to find a complete stranger lying naked beside you in bed. What do you do? Cole, what did you do?
I did all 12 endings. That's what I did.
Holy shit, there's 12 endings?
There are 12 endings. There are a lot of ways that waking up beside a lady who is nude, and you are nude, can end in the morning. Who knew? I've never had a one-night stand. I didn't know I could go like that. I have mixed feelings about this game's art style. As an artist, I basically pegged this game's art style as the artist took their photography for the game. I don't know if they took stock photos or something, maybe used their camera phone. And like, either way, they had photographs, they traced over them, and then they like blurred the photograph, and that's how they got the coloring for the game.
Weird.
It's, yeah. And the reason I say like it's traced over a photo, there's certain ways you can tell when somebody's done that. Unvaried line weight is one of them. Everything looking blocky, and like the artist didn't know which details were important to take or leave out. So like, rather than having defined knuckles drawn in or shaded in, they've got like a couple random thick lines. Hair is just like weirdly placed chunks. But despite seeing it like that, And my internal digital artist just going, after playing it a little while, it kind of grew on me. Like, as amateurish as the art style is, it somehow suited the game. Like, it just kind of became part of it after a little while. And I just accepted it and was like, yeah, that looks right. So beyond the way that the game looks, the way that it plays out is that it's kind of like a visual novel with a little bit of point and click thrown in. So you've woke up and, you know, thanks to your phone buzzing, your friend is like, hey, what happened to you? You ditched us last night. And then you have to start making decisions. Am I going to tell my friend that I woke up next to a random chick that I don't know? Am I even going to bother answering my phone? Am I going to try to get the fuck out of here before she wakes up? Or am I just going to, you know, take my time and see what happens? You know, there's
12 endings. You said
12 endings. There's actually a couple that don't even like count as official endings, but there's probably more than the 12. If you look at it that way. Yeah. Because there's official endings when you get through the end and you decide whether to stay or go or not, you know, however things plan out. You will get, like, it kind of looks like a phone gallery. So you have like a thumbnail that kind of symbolizes the ending that you got, kind of sums it up. And then it'll say, you know, it'll give you a heads up, like, yeah, you decided to chat with her. You had coffee. You thought she was cool or whatever. You did or didn't learn her name.
Awesome Prime said, I left the woman and turned the game off. Game over.
There's a, I'm a dip into a little bit of spoiler territory here. So if you don't want to hear this, turn your ears off for about, I don't know, 5 minutes or so. There is a potential ending too. One where you steal her underwear and she catches you in her panties.
Nice.
And then there is one where you steal her underwear, but you get away with it.
Nice, sir.
I have so many mixed feelings about the way some of these scenarios play out. Like, you know that it's the potential for way for a one-night stand to play out, but it's still a little weird to go through it in a game. If I were to fuss about anything at all, and it's a minor fuss, for most of the game, like, everything happens from a first-person perspective. But there is a mirror, and if you click in the mirror, the character is obviously a dude. And so then I was a little disappointed, because I was like, God damn it. You should have just, like, not made a person visible in the mirror like every other game does. And then you would have, like, checked off some boxes as far as, like, being friendly to, you know, potential LGBTQ scenarios. But no! Had to go and give me a dick so you could have the embarrassing panty storyline. What a disappointment. It was a minor gripe, but I was just like, aw. As soon as I saw a dude in the mirror, I was like, could have been anybody, but no. Took it away.
Could have been like the music video for Prodigy, Smack My Bitch Up.
It has been so long since I have seen that.
Oh, well then never mind.
But it is, it's the video is in a first person perspective, isn't it?
Yeah.
Vaguely.
Just doing all this crazy stuff like drugs and fights and smashing shit and sex and everything else. And then at the end of the video, it's a girl.
Yeah. Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yep.
I don't think I ever watched that video to the end. I was just like, this is just the thing. But I wasn't into Prodigy, so that was probably why I always just turned it. Let's go see if pop-up video is on. But
nothing's wrong with pop-up video.
But no, it's easy to look at One Night Stand and be like, nah, it's kind of ugly from an art perspective. It, like I said, I got used to it, and I eventually felt like it suited it. But the gameplay is actually really solid. There is one other issue that I had. And I did see that other people were running into it too. There is a, one of the storylines is called Caught. And after I got to the ending of that one, the game popped up with a really weird error debugging screen. And I wasn't sure what to do at that point. There were options down at the bottom. It was like continue and ignore. And okay. And like, I freaked out and I thought, this is going to fuck my save. And I've already got so many of the endings, that I don't want to lose my save. So I just crashed the game and restarted it. And then I continued on doing the other endings. Then I got to the end and I realized that I had 11 out of 12 and the one I was missing was the Caught ending. So I had to do it again and it gave me the error again.
Weird.
So this time I was like, well, crashing it didn't work. And if I'm going to see the end, I'm going to have to do something. So I rolled the dice and I clicked ignore and then it continued on fine. But it is there, and it is a problem, and the devs need to fix that. Because, whew, if you get to that ending after you have done, like, 10 of the 12 endings, you're going to be mad.
Oh, yeah.
If you don't know that it's doing that. But, yeah, once I did buckle down and just, like, hold my breath and click ignore, everything was okay, and I was able to get the rest of my achievements. That was the worst part, too, because the achievement for Caught had popped, but I just had this gaping hole where the thumbnail for that ending should have been, and it just wasn't. I was just like, what if I can't complete the game?
Oh, Lord. Well, yeah. $5 on One Night Stand, what do you think?
I gave it a solid buy it. I liked it a lot better than I was expecting to. I thought, it's a rattle lake. It's $5. You can do it in under 2 hours. Let's roll. But the story actually turned out really interesting. And there were the whole having 12 endings thing. Like at first, it seemed like it was going to be overwhelming. But then by the end, I was like, I like that there were that many options. That was very night in the woods of them. And I was impressed.
Cool. Well, next up, let's see. We got to get Dark Mika in here.
God damn it.
Hey, it's got to happen. It's things got to get done.
Wait.
Yeah, there's the sound of her camera in the noise room, so we know she's here.
We might need to use the Patreon monies to get her a mic.
Maybe.
Well, you have a mic somewhere, don't you, Jim? You can just throw that at my head.
Just throw it at you. Just whomp.
Hey, if it works, it works. A little question never killed anybody.
That's maybe not true. That's not. People have died from concussions.
Yeah, I know. That's
don't why. Be on this podcast spread no fake news.
Oh, geez. Anyway, the next game that the both of you are here to talk about is called We Were Here 2, developed and published by Total Mayhem Games, released October 2nd on Xbox One for $9.99. As your final hour approaches, a large structure looms up in the distance, towering above the relentless storm. Discover the truth behind this dark castle in a communication-based cooperative puzzle adventure. Cole, you and Dark Meek covered this one together. What happened?
I'm not talking shit about this game because I'm mad about what happened, and I'll let Aki tell you everything.
All right, Aki, what happened?
I'm just here to be mad.
Well, this is the second of three games that are actually out on Steam. It's the second one that's been ported. I honestly can't wait for the third. I like the games. Most of the puzzles were fairly easy. They're just various different first-person puzzles. There's not even a standard type. They're just all over the fucking place.
It's basically a giant escape room.
Yeah.
But in a castle.
Yeah, so like the first game.
Yes. Except for it's harder.
I will say that We Were Here 2 puts a lot more emphasis on timing and saving each other's asses than the first one did. The first one is very much like, as long as you guys tell each other the answers, you're fine.
Yeah, there was only one room in the first game, and that was the room where you had to have the other character figure out what color to make, and that was it. And the one with the chess pieces. Those are the only two that were timed, and they both had a lot of time. This game, some of these puzzles, you had to get them perfectly on your first try, or you were fucked.
Which
was not fun.
Which was interesting, because the first game had achievements tied to getting a perfect run and getting out. But this one didn't have it. And so we were like, oh, we can take our time. We can relax. We can think through the puzzles. We're not going to be stressed. And then we get in there and they're like, fuck you. Here's 3 seconds. Figure it out.
Yeah, she was stressed. I never got stressed. I got angry, though. And I know she noticed it, too. The one puzzle, that both of us hate the most, I got very angry at, and that's why she's still angry, I'm sure, is that same fucking puzzle. Most of the puzzles are easy. There's two of them that suck, and one of them that really fucking sucks. And that would be the maze puzzle.
Now, to be fair, the maze, the labyrinth in the first one was also initially my biggest bitch, and I hated it as well. But it wasn't timed. And I could trudge around and figure that shit out. But the maze in 2 is timed.
Yeah, you only have damn near just enough time to get to them. You have like a second to extra, and that's it.
Seconds. So the room for this maze is circular. And one, and we were here too. In the first one, you played, as a librarian and an engineer.
Adventurer,
yeah, something like that. And this one you play as a lord and a peasant. So for the maze, the peasant is in the maze and the lord is up on a balcony overlooking it.
And laughing as and I did laughing some of
like
it.
The fucking monkey that he is. I'm still salty. I will forever be salty.
Yeah. Here, let me talk about
we'll
this part.
We'll get to why.
We've put, about maybe 8-9 hours into the game, give or take. Mm-hmm. About half of that was spent on Cole trying to get through that fucking maze as the fucking peasant.
So
it
here's
took
the thing,
so
though.
Long. It sucked.
The first time that we did it, we literally spent about an hour and a half straight just one whack going through, doing it over and over and over again.
And then I drew maps because that was logical.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing is that even once Aki, we broke down, Aki took a screenshot or had a screenshot of the overview. One. And so then she was putting colored dots and mapping out the path that I needed to go. As long as you get through the phase in the maze, then you can stop and wait for the other person to tell you where you're supposed to go. So we were DMing the path that I needed to take because that was the best way for us to get through it. And she would DM me these pictures with the path and I would sit and memorize it over and over and over again. But there's nothing in that maze that gives you any kind of indicators as to where you are most of the time. So like the way that I was memorizing it was like there were circled checkpoints and then you would go either left or right, in or out. So like in my head, I would have to look at her picture and memorize it because as soon as you move off that checkpoint, time starts. And if you don't get to the other one, you're back at square one all over again.
Yeah. In this maze, you had to do five times. You'd go to a checkpoint. It changed the maze. You'd have to go to the next point. It changed the maze. It did this five times. If you fucked up on the fifth one, you started back at part one. And you had to do all fucking five of them again.
Yeah. But here's why we got pissed. We got through it. We did it five times. Mm-hmm. I was standing back in the middle.
But it didn't do what it was supposed to do.
And then we did it again. And we kept going. And eventually, I was just like, I can't fucking go anymore. And I fucked up and I missed the spot.
Yeah, we did it. Was glitched. Seven. We went through seven of them and it was supposed to end at five. And it didn't. And it restarted from one. And we got to seven in a row of her doing it right before she happened to make a mistake and it restarted. And we didn't know that there was only supposed to be five. We were like, we have no idea how long this piece of shit goes.
Yeah.
And at that point, it was like 2 in the morning. Yeah. We had been playing for hours. And I literally texted her and was like, my hands hurt and I cannot hold this controller another minute. And I shut it down. I was so mad about it. And then the next morning, we blew through. It wasn't the morning. It was the afternoon or whatever. But the next day, we did it and we blew through it. First try. Shoo. Gone. Out the door.
I did. You didn't.
No, I did it when we did it the next day. Tries.
It still took you a few tries. Not very many, but it took you like three or four.
It was much faster than the hour and a half we spent it the night before.
I'm pretty sure we spent more than an hour and a half on it the day before. God, that was misery.
It was miserable.
No, that's a terrible, terrible puzzle. God, I hate
that. Here's puzzle aside, $10, what do you think of the game as a whole?
There was still one other puzzle that made me want to bash my head in.
I'm guessing that's the one where we fell in the fire. Yeah, that one sucked.
That one sucked too. Because one of you is standing on stairs that get drawn in, and so the room is like sinking into lava, essentially, as the other one is like trying to find these blocks. But the one that is on the stairs has the solution. It's like a box that's been unfolded. So it's a cross. And then the other one has a room full of boxes. And there's literally just so many options that there's not enough time to go through them. So then you find yourself like hoping for the best and throwing one at the solution. And then if that's wrong, then it speeds up how fast the stairs are disappearing.
And it gets rid of like 3 to 5 of them. Every time you screw up, it just wipes out that many.
And then when you screw it too, gates will come up over the blocks. So you can't pick them up to try again immediately. You have to wait for those gates to lower back down very slowly while your buddy is sinking into lava.
Yeah.
So that one also, because if there had been more variety in the symbols, I don't think that one would have been so bad. But given how many blocks there were, how many potential solutions there were, and the similarities in the symbols.
Like, and you had to do it 3 fucking times.
Yeah.
In a row. It's like,
how many times, you know, if you say, okay, an arrow pointing right, but on a box, an arrow pointing right could go like 4 different directions.
Yeah, and turning the box wasn't particularly.
It was slow, and it was not always, like, you could be trying to get it to rotate vertically, but it would be wanting to spin it kind of on an angle.
Yeah. But for $10, 2 out of, I think, 11 or 13, something like that, puzzles are just absolute dog shit. Because they are. They're bad.
They're bad.
That is going to end some people's games. They're not going to put the time into that maze. They're just going to end. They're going to be pissed off and they're going to leave. I think it's worth it because it's only $10. I mean, there are worse games you can play for that. And but I also really like puzzles. So I'm exceptionally biased in that. Because puzzles are my fucking bread and fucking butter. I would play puzzles all goddamn day long. And games like this are made for people like me, because you have, like, the maze thing, I did that in like 15 minutes when it was my turn.
Yeah, but you also to sit and watch me fuck up for hours on end first.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't have the benefit of watching anybody fuck up. I was the fuck up.
Yeah, my maps work perfectly for me. I memorized it a completely different way than her. I think I might be a little better when it comes to spatial stuff. But yeah, games like this are made for me. I love these kinds of games. So I'm for it, even though those two sucked. But I think those two will kill people's enjoyment of the game. So if you like puzzles, I think it's... You might as well. If you don't like puzzles, this is not one that's going to make you like puzzles. Fuck that. No.
Cole, your verdict?
I give it a recommended try it. But again, I think, like Aki, some of those puzzles are just going to knock people on their asses and they're going to lose interest. Yeah. And it makes it a little tougher of a sell. I think you need to go into it with somebody that you either are really good at communicating with or have means for, like, communicating outside of the game, even though it kind of breaks the rules of the game.
You need to communicate outside of it, because
yeah,
this is made to be played in-game chat with somebody else. Problem with that is, I would speak and she'd hear about 5 seconds fucking later. You don't have time in these puzzles because they're time. You don't have time for that shit. So you need to communicate outside of that for, like, half of these puzzles, so they know what they're doing. Otherwise, it takes too long because there's too much of a lag.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, well, I still bought it anyway. I figure one of you could just walk me through it.
Aki can get you through that fucking maze. I ain't touching it again.
Yeah, we can do that, Jeff. I can manage that.
The boxer can fuck off, too.
Oh, Jesus. Anyway, one final game to talk about tonight is called Dragon Star Varnir, developed by Idea Factory and Compile Heart, published by Idea Factory International, releasing October 8th on Steam for $59.99. In a world where witches are cursed to give birth to dragons, one man tasked with hunting them soon finds his own fate intertwined with his former enemies. The fate of 3 witches is in your hands. Will you choose to save them or sacrifice them to gain items and skills? Dark Mika, what did you do?
I stared at their tits mostly, to be honest.
Shocker.
Hey, if I couldn't do this, there's a lot of them in this. This is, if you guys have definitely heard of Idea Factory on here, they've made all the fucking Neptunia games.
Yes, like, we've covered a number of iffy games on the show.
Yeah. I love Neptunia games, so, I mean, obviously I was primed to love this, and I did. It's very much like those games in the dungeon style and the visual drawing style and the animation styles. It's very much another Neptunia game, just not with the dipshit that is Neptune. As much as I love her, she's about as smart as a fucking baked potato. But yeah, the main character is Zephy, who is the knight, and he works for, basically think the Catholic Church during the times of the Inquisition, where they were slaughtering people wholesale for not converting. That is this country that he works for. Nice. As a whole. Yeah, they're fucking monstrosities. And they're trying to kill all the dragons, which I can kind of understand, even though dragons are the cutest creatures on that ever existed in mythology. And they're also trying to kill the witches because they have dragon's power. That's how they use magic. So he ends up meeting some witches out in the forest after he's nearly killed by a dragon because, you know, he's specially trained to kill dragons. So obviously he can't because he's an incompetent fuck. Standard storyline for every hero. Nice. And you meet a few witches and they basically turn you into an errand boy instead of turning it into his own personal harem. Because, I mean, it's not like these girls have met too many guys. They're witches. Notice the term witches, not wizards, just witches. They're all ladies. And they can interact with normal society because everyone wants them dead. And he doesn't turn that into a harem. I've watched enough anime. That's the first thing you fucking do. Oh, anyways.
Oh, my God.
But no, he turns into the little pissy errand boy, basically, of the group. And it's a pretty funny story. It has some very serious moments. Like, for instance, a child dies fairly early into the game, right in front of you. She gets ripped the fuck apart because she's a witch and she births a dragon. And And then you have to kill that dragon with these witches that were looking for her. And then you have to go tell the rest of their little witch coven den thing, which is also a whole bunch of other little girls. They have to be told that their friend just died. And it gets a little emotional because I wasn't expecting that. And then they explained the birthing concept. Witches have to eat dragons in order to not go crazy. If they go crazy, dragon bursts from their body. Think the alien chest burster, except for not your chest, your entire body.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. If a witch goes crazy, that happens. To prevent herself from going crazy, she has to eat dragon meat, drink dragon blood, blah, blah, blah. Problem with that is every time she does that, that dragon's inside of the witch anyways. It's also absorbing this. Eventually, you feed it enough, it bursts out of you. You're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. I haven't seen a case for it harder than this. Jeez. These witches are fucked, and they all know it. Even the little kids know that they don't have a future. It is depressing, like seriously fucking depressing. And that is the story right there. Is you're like, well, we need to find a way to stop this shit. And I haven't gotten far enough into the game to know if that happens or not. I really fucking hope it does, because this is misery. But as for mechanics, the game is a much more basic version of the Neptunia games, which I appreciate, because the Neptunia games are pretty well known for throwing absolutely every piece of information of combat that you could ever have from the beginning to the end of the game, all within the first, like, 5 minutes of the game, which is just a little bit too fucking much. And then they all have special stuff, and each game has a different set of special stuff, and they're all fucking complicated, which is also thrown at you damn near the start of the game. This one, they finally figured out people can't fucking do that, and they've slowed it down to a trickle, just giving you little bits and little bits, and I love that. So the tutorial system of this is so much better. And the combat is much more simple because of it, because you only get standard attacks at first, a little bit of magic at first. Then they teach you different abilities you can use with your magic to do different things. And it's just a much more pleasant experience because of that. There's also a really cool way of getting abilities. In the other games, you would either equip something that had an ability, or you would use the ability enough that you would unlock it permanently for your character. In this one, you have an ability that's called Devour. In combat, if you use that on a dragon, If it works, that character will effectively eat that dragon, getting rid of it off the screen, automatically beat it, no matter how much HP it has, it just kills it if it succeeds. And then after that, after you beat all the rest of the enemies, or devour the rest of them if you're me, because I did that constantly, I like doing that.
By the way, thanks, I have the song Devour by Shinedown in my head now.
You're welcome.
Anyway.
Terrible.
But after the battle, you get a little, kind of like a skill tree from Final Fantasy X, kind of, how you had those little jewels that move that you could make designs on shit on the boards. It's kind of like that you get for each individual type of dragon that you consumed with that character. That also means you have to devour all the dragons with each individual character, which takes a lot of time, because some of those little fuckers do not spawn very, very often. So leveling ends up being a lot slower in this if you want all the abilities you can get, because all these things give you actual magical powers that you can use. It also gives you stat boosts and passive abilities that you can also equip, like more health, more magic, more defense, etc., etc., all that fun shit. So it's really good to devour fucking everything, and I've been doing that. Literally fucking everything. All of them for every character. It takes forever, but it's so awesome to do. And then you can also do it just to get rid of dragons, so you don't have to fucking fight them any longer, because it takes too goddamn long, which is another reason why I devour them a lot. So I really like this new style of gameplay they've made it for this game. The tutorials are much easier to follow. The gameplay feels a lot more simple because it gives you new stuff to do as you continue. Like, I went into chapter 3 and got a new knowledge that I can knock enemies into each other. At chapter 3, I think there's like 5 or 7 chapters in this, I think, something like that. So it just slowly drip feeds you stuff, which is really nice. I'm hoping that there's New Game Plus for this, because most of the Neptune games do. They require you to play through it a couple times, and you make different choices. I don't know if this will, but I'm hoping. I've really liked this. The only problem I really have with the game is that, like many of the Neptunia games, it fucking needs better brightness controls. Like, they have just very basic brightness controls, and my TV is set to max or damn near max brightness at all times, just so I can see shit really well. I set the game to max, and in dark areas, I still can't fucking see damn near anything. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. Like, in the area I'm in right now in Chapter 3, I'm in a dark area. I can't fucking see, like, 80% of the screen. I don't know what the hell I'm doing.
Damn.
So I'm using the mini-map to figure out how to fucking get around the place. And that's really fucking annoying. But it's been like that in lots of the Neptunia games, too. If you get into a really dark area, the brightness controls, they just aren't quite enough, because they only have literally just brightness. Like, if they had gamma, contrast, some other stuff, maybe it could be a little better. I'm not really sure what would help that, but that's really the only complaint I have with this. I love it. Like, the girls are all really cute. Even the little kids, they're adorable. Like, there's one I love when you're introduced to the little kids, it's based on what they look like until you learn their name. And there was one that was called a bratty kid because you heard her voice first and she sounded like a little bitch, apparently. And then he saw her and it changed to Batty Girl because she had bats in her hair. And then it changed to her name, which was Chiquita, which nice. Is a very odd. They all have weird names. Like, there was a Chiquita, Pio, Monet. Like, that's a very weird grouping of fucking names right there. That's from all over the goddamn place. Like,
well, everything aside, $60 on this one, what do you think of it?
Oh, hell yeah. I put 60 to 80 hours into all of these games to beat them. So I figure that's probably what it's going to take to beat this. 60 to 80, maybe even upwards of 100. Totally worth it for your time. If you've played a Neptunia game, this is a more simple and, in my opinion, better version of it. I hope they make a second one to the series. I don't think that it really will end with an opening for that, but I hope they do, because this is so goddamn fun.
You know what I hope Idea Factory does?
Gives me every game that they've ever made in perpetuity.
No, I wish they would team up with Xbox.
Yes, really? If they did that, I would review literally every one of their game of their ports, all of them for the Xbox. I don't even care.
Robbie, if you're listening, you already got someone to review everything.
Yeah,
literally everything.
I have almost all of their games on Steam, including games that my computer can't even run. I still have them and their fucking DLC.
So which proud.
I guess I might also want to point out they actually have DLC listed for this game. And it's not even on sale yet, which kind of annoyed me, but I was kind of expecting it.
I think if you buy it at launch, it comes with a deluxe pack with it, I believe.
Oh, okay. I think they actually have real DLC planned out. Like, they always have DLC.
I'm sure they do.
But it just kind of annoyed me that it was like they already knew all the things that were going to be DLC. It's like, could have just put it in the game. I mean, as is. But literally all of them that they have as DLC is the same stuff that you see as DLC for literally all the Neptunia games. So it's like, it didn't shock me, but I was like, damn, the game's not even fully out and you already have all this planned as DLC. That just kind of hurts my feelings a little. But yeah, I'm totally worth buying it. It's a fantastic game. I love it.
Yeah, I'm checking on Steam here now. It was originally supposed to launch on the 9th, but they're launching it a day early on the 8th with a 20% week-long discount. So if you want to get this, get it early. Upon launch, Steam users will be able to grab the Deluxe Bundle, which is the game in the Deluxe Pack, at a permanent 10% discount. The Deluxe Pack will also have a week-long 20% discount and includes character and background art collection, rough art collection, PC wallpapers, mobile wallpapers, and a 12-track soundtrack.
Yeah, the DLC that's listed in the game is things like extra leveling stuff, extra equipment, stuff like that. So DLC they're going to release later. That stuff's
always there.
Yeah, I was just a little sad that they had literally already had it in the system as planned in the actual game itself. It's like, oh, come on.
Well, it's like that with the Chemco RPGs on Xbox as well. That stuff is just there. It's convenient stuff. It's not required, but...
Yeah, I'm going to end up buying it because I've literally bought it for, I think, every game that I have. I believe I've bought all of them for all of them, so I know I'm going to eventually buy this once I have it on. Yeah. When I like a game or a game series, I go ballistic. I buy fucking everything. I can't say I'm unhappy. I love this game, so I don't care. I'll buy the rest of it. I'm fine with that. Whatever.
Nice. All right. Well, that is it for this episode. Aki, thanks for being here. Cole, thanks for being here. That is it for this another successful one.
We did it.
It was so successful that during the show, Froggy Bear became another Patreon.
Yay! Awesome!
Yes.
Thank you, Froggy Bear.
Which I believe is Root Beer. Under a pseudonym.
I didn't go silent so I could play Tropico.
Yes, you did.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, Cole, up until I had to be in here, I was playing Code Vein. I still haven't gotten out of the character customization yet.
Wow.
Yeah, I started just after the stream started.
Look at my little cow farms.
Yeah, I'm not... Yeah, no, okay.
You know the show's still going, right?
Who cares?
God damn.
This is just added stuff. More pleasure for the viewers.
Yes.
Top it off. Put it on Patreon.